FM.
What's it like to be transgender?
What's it like to survive a plane crash?
What's it like to have COVID?
What's it like to be blind?
What's it like to be a drug addict?
What's it like to be shot?
What's it like to be an undercover cop?
What's it like to be a contact tracer?
What's it like?
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be a Formula One performance coach? Well, if you've watched the TV series Drive to Survive, you will have got to know our next guest. He is Daniel Ricciardo's performance coach, Michael Italiano. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
First up, mate, how can you not be successful with the surname Italiano?
I get mixed emotions. Some people laugh. Some people think I'm a fake. They don't believe me.
Right. Well, we think you're the real deal. We've seen you doing it on Drive to Survive. So give us an insight, mate. What's the average day like for Daniel Ricciardo's performance coach?
Yeah, I mean, well, right now talking to you, I've got the week off, so it's great. Just lounge around and do my thing. But usually come race weeks, it's quite full on. I'm obviously preparing Daniel to perform. So, you know, a standard day would be waking up wherever we are in the world, and we'll do some dynamic stretchings in the morning just to try and loosen him up, and we'll do some sort of movement to get the day started and get some sunlight, because sometimes we're always jet lagged, so we'll try and get some sunlight in the morning, and mainly a bit of training during the day, and maybe a little bit more recovery in the afternoon, and in between we're eating and just hanging out like mates. Generally,
sounds like a tough gig. Yeah. Wow, I don't know how you do it. So you're saying you have to stretch in the morning, then eat, then stretch again, and then go to sleep, and you get paid once a month.
I've really sold the dream.
You really undersold that.
It's not all like that.
But when you say you're mates, you're actually childhood friends. I love this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I met Daniel when I was about 12 through mutual friends, and we stayed in contact ever since. He moved across to Europe at a very early, ripe age, I think at the age of 15, to Italy to pursue his motorsport dream. And 2017, we just randomly linked up, and he offered me the job. He saw what I was doing in the coaching realm and wanted me to have me on board. So it's been a good story to date.
What's the toughest part about his job, like, that you have to kind of help him get through?
I think, like most sports, I'm going to say it's probably the pressure. You know, there's only 20 drivers in the world.
Wow.
So it's, you know, there is pressure to perform. Simple as that. There's so many people in the wings waiting to take your spot. You know, it's not like a football team where you've got, you know, 30 people in the squad. It's literally 20 races in the world, and that's it. So I'd probably say the pressure of just, I guess, the expectations being a Formula One driver itself.
And he had a tough weekend last weekend where he knocked himself out of the race and Leclerc as well. And he went and apologised to Leclerc afterwards. He clearly felt really bad.
Did you tell him to apologise?
It was Carlos. It was the other Ferrari driver. But
Carlos Sainz, yes.
No,
I was
no,
say
it's
that.
All good. But,
yeah.
No, usually, of course, as a coach, you know, you're there to provide, you know, your coaching expertise and wisdom, especially when, you know, they are emotional and, you know, you're very emotional post-race, especially if you have had, you know, a difficult race. So I actually missed last weekend. It was my first race I missed in 4 years. I got COVID. So I wasn't there to tell him.
God,
wasn't
you're there off to this week, mate. Apologize. You're quite devoted, aren't you?
But, but no, he did go and apologize, but that is something that I definitely wasn't surprised about Daniel. Like he knows that's just part of his nature. He's just a good man. And I'd like to say I'll take the rein on that, but no, that's just Daniel's good character.
So is the Formula One lifestyle glamorous? Do you go to a lot of red carpets events?
Ooh, yes.
Oh, I could tell you some funny stories about the non-glamorous life of our lives. But obviously the races and the weekends, they come across very, you know, glamorous and fun. And they are, as a spectator, they're amazing. But from our side, you know, whatever looks great, you know, there's an equal sacrifice to it, you know, in life. If anything ever looks too good to be true, usually because it is. You know, with that being said, you know, we are living out of a suitcase 90% of the year. You know, we don't see friends, we don't see family. We're literally constantly jet lagged 24/7. So, you know, there are elements of sacrifice that you need to make if you do want to be in this sport.
We're talking to Michael Italiano. He's the performance coach of Daniel Ricciardo, Formula One driver. So you two guys are best mates, which is so super lovely. If, like, away from the track, you guys have to go anywhere, like, does he always drive?
You know what? He never does. Because because he's racing so much. The last thing he wants to do is drive a boring, normal car. He also doesn't trust himself, so he'd rather someone more responsible than himself to actually be behind the wheel.
Wow.
Right. And does every driver have one of you?
Yes, correct. So every driver will have a performance coach. It is important, especially as a driver, you know, going all around the world, you need someone by your side to, you know, keep you fit, keep you healthy, keep you in line and make sure that, you know, you're there as a sounding board as well to be there for them. So, every driver does have a coach of some sort.
And I know watching Drive to Survive that Daniel has a rivalry with his teammate Lando Norris. Let's call it a friendly rivalry for now. Do you have a rivalry with Lando Norris's performance coach?
Absolutely.
he's actually become a very good friend of mine.
Oh, gosh.
it's funny. Netflix love to paint the picture that teammates are like the biggest rivals, but deep down, like in the paddock, it's not true. Like obviously, yes, there's no secret you want to beat your teammate because they are your gauge, they are your benchmark. But I'd say it's definitely friendly rivalry because at the end of the day, you're racing for the same team. You're in, you know, you have the same personnel, the same people behind you. So it's it is friendly rivalry for sure.
Mm. And on leg days, do you focus more on the clutch leg or the accelerator leg?
Oh, good question, Beck.
That's a good question. You've been doing your homework, Beck. Technically their left calf should be a lot stronger because it's their braking leg. So they have to put a lot of force through the brake pedal to try and slow the car down, especially because, you know, they're going so fast. So they need to slow the car down as quick as possible, which, you know, helps them, you know, quicker lap time essentially. So there may be a little bit of discrepancy there, but I like to keep his body overall structurally balanced. But he probably has a stronger left calf muscle. That's a bit of insight for you.
And what about? And I've been in an F1 car once, a 2-seater, with David Coulthard a few years ago. Yes, at Melbourne, and he took me for a few laps.
Damn.
And it was the braking on each turn. Because there's a little thing in between me and David Coulthard. I banged my head on every single turn because of the braking. And I thought my neck was going to break.
Did your wife buy you that package?
Yeah. How strong does an F1 driver's neck have to be for all the braking?
Yeah, the G-force is real. It really is. And the, you know, how innovative this sport is, the cars just get quicker and quicker each year, which means they're enduring more G-force each year. So they need to be stronger every year. There's no real, you know, hit your benchmark every January and you're good to go. So, you know, some tracks have fast corners around like 5G, which is about 35 to 40 kilos, like pressing on your neck. You know, try and hold that for 1 to 2 seconds and do that for 2 hours while trying to drive a really, really fast car. It's it takes a toll. These guys have extremely strong necks. You know, that they'd be up there with, you know, professional boxers and professional rugby players for sure, and probably NFL players.
Mate, this is a great opportunity to use you if we can, because most of our listeners right now are in cars driving, and they're probably feeling pretty shitty. They got to go to work and all that kind of stuff. Like, what things can everyday people do in their life to just get on the right sort of leg when they get out of bed and, you know, feel good about themselves?
Yeah, first thing I'd say is leave your phone outside your bedroom, because you probably have a tendency to grab your phone when you wake up.
Yeah.
It's a terrible start to the day. Get some sunlight. Sunlight's the best thing you can probably do in the morning. So get up, get 10 minutes of sunlight, get some fresh air, get some nature, and that will start you off on a good foot. And the last thing, make your bed. Get your first task done for the day, and all of a sudden you'll start promoting like more efficiency. You feel like you've done your first task and you're ready to smash the day.
Well done, mate.
Well, Michael, I went to your website and signed up, and I'm now getting your daily email. So thank you for inspiring me.
Awesome.
And are you a subscriber?
Anyone?
You're forking out.
There's a plan. I've been offered a string of plans. There's a few. There's like an A plan, a B plan, and the C plan.
Man's got to eat.
Exactly. but it's a great exercise to go through. To go to the website, answer the questionnaire, and get the daily emails. Anyone can do that, by the way, and get a training plan done by Michael. Go to michaelitaliano.com. And, Mike, we really appreciate your insights this morning. You lead a fascinating life, and thanks for sharing a bit of it with us.
No, thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure talking to a bunch of Aussies.
Yeah, good to hear you've still got the accent.
This side of the world, so thanks, guys.
Yeah, well done, mate. You're a lovely fella, and we wish you all the best of luck. Thanks for taking the time to have a chat, eh?
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks,
have a lovely day.
Thanks. SAFM.